कं सचानुरमर्दनम् देवकी परमानन्दम् कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुम्.
सो वी आर डिस्कसिंग सर्टेन इम्प्लीमेंट्स दैट वुड allow us to cultivate a divine attitude. In the Gita, we come across a beautiful hint. The Lord describes His nature. And then Arjuna asks, how can I see? And you cannot see with your ordinary eyes. But I will give you divine insight. And then the Lord gives. And Arjuna, of course, you know, he could not tolerate. Why could he not bear that wonderful universal vision? There is a problem, because it is a very interesting subject. In our hearts, we do wish to be spiritual. We do wish to be good. We do wish to be loving. We do wish to be loved. But if we do wish to have all these, then we have to make lot of changes in our life. And the least thing, the last thing that we want to do is to bring about a change within ourselves. Take an example. A mother loves her child. Is there anything that she can hold back from the child? Now, if we love someone, the same rule must apply. But we want to love, we want to have the benefit of love, but we do not wish to change anything. And that's not going to happen. We have to bring about change. So the Lord, He out of His grace, He gives a glimpse of what could be achieved, and then he withdraws. He withdraws because the aspirant wasn't fit enough to carry it. Then we get the hints in the 16th chapter that to be able to bear that vision, that the person, every person must cultivate certain divine qualities. They are called Daivi Sampat, divine treasury, wonderful qualities. All the qualities that we develop, say goodness, unselfishness, are in one word, purity of the mind. They all are instruments. Let us never forget. A quality always belongs to a substance. Our goal is not merely to become good substance, but to go beyond all substances. Our goal is to remove all the differences. The qualities are the what we call take-off ground. You know, when a long jumper takes leaps, what does he do? Where does he start? Starts a long distance back, starts running, and then at a particular place he takes off. And without that background, it is not possible for him to simply jump over. So exactly in the same way, we wish to have that high jump or long jump. But we want to jump from where we are. That is not going to happen. So all the point I am trying to make is, the qualities are important only as instruments. They simply make the mind fit to take off. Take off from where? From the mind itself. The mind itself has to be transcended. All the good qualities make the mind a strong take-off point. But we are not there to be there. So, koi na jaane, ताल का जल नदी में मिलेंगे, नदी का जल सागर में मिलेंगे, सागर का जल कहाँ मिलेंगे, कोई नहीं जाने. This is called the flight of the alone to the alone. we are alone, we take the alone. It's a wonderful meaning, if you think of it. Why fly it up the alone? Why can't we all fly together? There are two reasons. Psychologically, each one of us can only take a leap by ourselves. Philosophically, there are not many. There are not many. Let me give a funny example. Suppose you go to bed and have a wonderful dream. In the dream, a lot of people, you are joined together, and meanwhile, imagine with some people you became very friendly, and with other people you are not so friendly. Now, a time will come, someone comes and says, there is a very nice restaurant, first class food is being served, it is absolutely free. So, you say, let us get up and then go to that place. And then you wish that only you and people whom you love alone should go from that place. So, you find how not to let them know. Because if you open the door, then everybody will know these people are plotting something, they are going somewhere. So quietly you go to the back door, back window. Quiet when these people are all facing this way. Imagine. And then quietly open and you take off. And then you wake up. What happens, all those other fellows? Have they also taken a jump or not? That is why flight of the alone to the alone means it appears as though there are so many. There are not so many. How many are there?
One.
Only one. If you attain liberation, then the whole world is liberated. Thereafter, you will never find one single one in bondage. Because you see God.
Yeah.
If you see God means, can you imagine a God who is in bondage? Can you imagine a God whom you don't like, whom you hate, who is selfish? When we are in bondage, we find all this. But when we are liberated, so what is this teaching based upon? You know, you have doubts. So, Sri Ramakrishna attained liberation. Do we attain liberation? No, we are still here. But according to him, we are all liberated. According to him. Because he doesn't see anybody in bondage. He sees everyone only as
God.
God only. There is no other way. So that is the secret. The secret is that you don't feel you are leaving behind someone in trouble, in bondage. Even if you wish to leave someone behind, even if you wish to leave your wife or husband behind, unfortunately you can't do that. Because they will be present there also as what? As your own self. But the point I am trying to illustrate is, we have to develop good qualities. These good qualities are not ends in themselves. These good qualities are only means. I also mentioned, everything is a field, excepting one's own self, everything else is a field. And every field is meant to be cultivated. And there are only four fruits to be cultivated. What are those four? Moksha. But in fact, though we said that, but really there is only one fruit. Dharma, Artha and Kama are called instrumental values. Intrinsic value is only one. Do you know the difference between instrumental value and intrinsic value? An instrumental value, an instrument, is something which is not an end in itself, but which helps us to go somewhere. For example, simple question, why are you studying? Study so that you can acquire knowledge. Why do you want to acquire knowledge? You know, it's an instrument. Why do you want to have knowledge? I want to get a good job. Why do you want to get a good job? I want to have lot of money. Why do you want to have lot of money? So that I can be happy. Why do you want to be happy? You can't ask that question. Because to be happy is an intrinsic value in itself. But your study and you're getting good marks, acquiring knowledge, getting a job, and all these things are instruments. That is why if you ask somebody, why do you want to get married? I want to be happy. There is no guarantee that it, that instrument is a very defective instrument. Yeah, it is a double-edged instrument. That is why sometimes you may get a, it is a very beneficial instrument. You must know that. Very beneficial instrument. One young man went to Socrates and asked, I am thinking of getting married, what's your advice? He said, young man, go and get married. If your wife is good, you will be a happy husband. Otherwise, you will become a wonderful, marvelous philosopher like me. It benefits. Either way, it benefits. Yeah. So, this is called dharma and artha and kama are called instrumental values. So, in the beginning, they might appear to be intrinsic values. But very soon we discover they are teachers. See, by dharma, what do? You increase your happiness and decrease the unhappiness. Dharma's function is to increase our happiness and decrease our unhappiness. So there will be unhappiness. There is no way to avoid it. Now, both are teachers. Sukha and dukkha are both are teachers. One, it is like a hilly train, like Ottakmandu train. Have you ever seen Ottakmandu train?
Yeah.
It's a small toy train and it has two engines, one to pull, another to push. Sukha and dukkha is like that train which helps us. Sukha, happiness, is to pull us towards God, and dukkha is like the engine which pushes us towards God. Yes, whenever you have sukha, you have desire for more happiness. Whenever you have dukkha, you learn a great lesson. Is it not true? We learn more lessons from suffering than from happiness. So both are there, not as ends in themselves, but as instruments. Ultimate goal is
moksha.
Dharma, artha, kama and moksha. Whether we know it or not, whether we consciously work towards that goal or not, life like an escalator pushes us towards it. You know escalator? There is a very good example. There are two parts in the escalator. You see, one part is you can just stand. That is the nature pushes them slowly and teaches the lessons. The other is some people, they are wise. They want to reach their destination very soon. Then what do? That's why they walk. So their walking is an extra progress along with the escalator's own speed. So those who do sadhana, they are like people walking on the escalator. And those who do not, they are like people who are standing there. But evolution. What is evolution? It is like people standing, not walking. Slowly nature itself is taking them up and up and up. Until we reach the goal, nature will not liberate us. The purpose of nature is to take us to that goal. So we have to consciously develop certain tools which will aid our faster progress. And those aids are called development of certain qualities. Some of these qualities we had discussed in the morning, like amanitvam, sthairyam, steadfastness, and then holding on to with willpower whatever we have done. There are many qualities. The whole Bhagavad Gita is full of these qualities, but I will just select some of them. So one of them is asaktiranabhishvangah putra dara grihadishu. That is, living like a maid servant in a rich man's house. This is a wonderful teaching of Lord Krishna. That is what he is telling. Asaktihi anabhishvangah. Asaktihi means detachment. Anabhishvangah means not clinging to life. These qualities, what are the putra dara grihadishu? In the sons or children, in the wife and husband, in the house, car, job, whatever it is. You do your full duty, but do not be too much attached, because the break will come. It will definitely come. Sooner or later, it will come. And if we don't let it go, then like tearing something raw, it can give us a lot of pain. This beautiful truth, Sri Ramakrishna is putting it, live like a maid servant in a rich man's house. And M used to live like that. There are wonderful instances. You know, a new book has come, M's Life by Swami Chaitananda. Oh, it is such a fantastic life. Let me bring to your notice one incident. Live like a maid servant. That was the teaching given to M by Sri Ramakrishna. Is what happened? He started living like a maid servant. And then one day what happened, when he was fairly old and not keeping very good health, one day he had to go out somewhere, and he came home late along with one of other devotees. It was almost midnight. He didn't eat anything. He wasn't keeping good health. So it was necessary that he should eat something. So the devotee, naturally, M was a married man. His wife was there. Then he asked, the devotee asked, shall I tell mother to cook something for you? Instantaneously, M's reaction was, no, we have no right to disturb her. Then he explained, you know, if a maid servant comes at midnight into the house, will she wake up the owner of the house and say, look, I just come, I am hungry, I didn't eat anything, come on, get up and cook some food for me. Will she have the right to say, Thakur told me to live like a maid servant. I have no right, because I have come late. So, then he told, there are some shops open, go and get some food material, something simple, we will eat and then go to bed. You know, he owns the house. And then it was his own wife who would be more than happy to get up and serve. It's a funny incident happened, you know. Thakur told him that you cook your own food and eat. And so his wife was there. She used to make very nice, she loved her husband. She used to make dainty dishes. And then she wants to feed him, but he won't eat. Then she complained to Holy Mother, Mother, my husband doesn't eat what I cook. Then Holy Mother called him out of compassion for the wife. I think Nikunja Devi, his wife's name, I think Nikunja Devi. Boy actually, yes, they have got book. So called and Nikunja Devi complained. Then Holy Mother called M and then told, Baba, you must eat your wife's. What did Thakur say? Practically, don't eat. What is Holy Mother saying? That you have to eat. Now he has to food because he can't disobey Holy Mother's food, because he really believed she was the Divine Mother. Now he will go and sit, and then she will prepare dainty dishes, and he will eat. Will put his finger. Ah, how beautiful he is! It is wonderful. Hardly he eats anything. And then goes and cooks his own food. He will eat. Now that way he obeyed the Holy Mother's command also. He is obeying Thakur's command also. One more instance. He had some sons, several sons. One of the sons became addicted to gambling and he was wasting a lot of money. So what happened, M gave him notice, either you give it up or get out of the house and do what you like. So he went to some relative's house and lived for a long time. His aunt, that aunt died, and after that his uncle also kicked him out. And he became a street beggar, you know, practically. One day he came in a very dilapidated condition, you know, haggard looking, like a tramp. The attendant at first couldn't recognize him. And he said, "Are you not M's son?" He said, "Yes." "And why did you come?" He said, I didn't eat for some days. "Will you please give me some money?" And the attendant immediately felt so much sympathy, he wanted to give. But then he said, "No, I have no right to give. I must take the permission of M." So he went to M and said, M said, "All right, go and give it to him. But tell him this is not donation. This is lending the money. Within 30 days or so, I don't remember, you have to return the money." Now the attendant was feeling very shocked. M's own son, M had some money because of the sales of Kathamrita and other things. He could afford, and which father would deny even some food for eating? The attendant was feeling pained, a little bit surprised at M's behavior. He thought M was harsh. And anyway, he had to obey. He gave the money and said, "Within 30 days you have to return." And the son also dutifully said yes and actually returned after that, within 30 days, in the stipulated time. Now, M could understand the attendant's mental attitude. So one day he explained to him, "My son, look here, this is not my money. I am a maid. Will you allow your maid servant to take money and give it?" His feeling was, "This is not my house, it is Thakur's house. And this money belongs to Thakur. He used to spend least bit of money on his own comforts. Rest of it, some money to Belur Math, some money to Holy Mother, some money to other ashramas, some money to some personal expenses of sadhus. He used to spend his whole money like that. So I have no right to give this money. I know this fellow gambles. There is a likelihood. I am not going to. If he wants to earn money, he can very easily earn." See, then only we can understand why his behavior appeared to be so harsh. It was not harsh. He felt, I am only a maid servant. I can only do what is right. What a wonderful example to all of us. That is what Sri Ramakrishna's teachings, not only to him, but to all of us. In any case, we are nothing but pilgrims. We are living Dharmashala, like, you know, Dharmashala, Satra. So like that, a few days, a few years, you know. What is few years? Yeah. Swamiji was giving a talk in America. And then he said, when Hindus were so highly civilized, you people, you are putting barks and colors and... Only the other day. Then one fellow said, "What do you mean by Swami the other day? Since 500-600 years we are highly developed." "What is 500-600 years? Just only few the other day." It's just like that. You know, they count only infinitude. We are counting the days and nights and all those things. Yeah. Even then that also we can't tolerate. Yeah. 30 old, how old are you? When do you become old? Do you know when you become old? As soon as you are old, born, you're old. "I am one day old." It is true. It is true. When you celebrate birthdays, do you understand what you are doing? Every birthday is 1 year nearer to the
grave.
Queue. They're advancing in the queue. Yeah. So, putra ದಾರ ಗೃಹಾದಿಷು ಆಸಕ್ತಿ ಅನಭಿಶ್ವಂಗ. ಆಸಕ್ತಿ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಡಿಟ್ಯಾಚ್ಮೆಂಟ್. ಇಟ್ ಡಸಂಟ್ ಮೀನ್ ಇಂಡಿಫರೆನ್ಸ್. ಮೆನಿ ಟೈಮ್ಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಡ್ ಈಸ್ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಟೆಡ್ ಆಸ್ ವಿ ಡಿಟ್ಯಾಚ್. ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ವಾಟ್? ಓ, ಐ ಆಮ್ ನಾಟ್ ಇಂಟ್ರೆ, ಐ ಆಮ್ ಇಂಡಿಫರೆಂಟ್, ವಾಟ್ ಎವರ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪನ್ಸ್ ಐ ಡೋಂಟ್ ಕೇರ್. ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಕೋಲ್ಡ್ ಆಟಿಟ್ಯೂಡ್. ನೋ, ವಾಟ್ ಇಟ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಐ ಡೂ ಮೈ ವೆರಿ ಬೆಸ್ಟ್, ಐ ಲವ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ, ಬಟ್ ಐ ನೋ ಐ ಡು ನಾಟ್ ಬಿಲಾಂಗ್ ಟು ಯು ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ನೋ ಬಡಿ ಬಿಲಾಂಗ್ಸ್ ಟು ದೆಮ್ಸೆಲ್ಸ್. ಎವ್ರಿ ಒನ್ ಬಿಲಾಂಗ್ಸ್ ಟು ಓನ್ಲಿ ಗಾಡ್. ವಿತ್ ದಟ್ ಐಡಿಯಾ ವೀ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಬಿ ರೆಡಿ ಫಾರ್ ಎನಿಥಿಂಗ್. ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಡಿಟ್ಯಾಚ್ಮೆಂಟ್? ಡಿಟ್ಯಾಚ್ಮೆಂಟ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಟು ಬಿ ರೆಡಿ ಟು ಐಡೆಂಟಿಫೈ ವಿತ್ ಎ ನ್ಯೂ ಸಿಚುಯೇಷನ್ ಇನ್ಸ್ಟಂಟೇನಿಯಸ್ಲಿ ವಿಥೌಟ್ ದಿ ಲೀಸ್ಟ್ ಬಿಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಟೈಮ್ ಲ್ಯಾಗ್. ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಡಿಟ್ಯಾಚ್ಮೆಂಟ್. ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಇಂಡಿಫರೆನ್ಸ್. ಇನ್ ಫ್ಯಾಕ್ಟ್ ಇಫ್ ಎನಿ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಟ್ರೆಮಂಡಸ್ ಫೋಕಸಿಂಗ್. ಯು ನೋ, ಎನಿ ಸೈಂಟಿಸ್ಟ್, ಎ ಸೈಂಟಿಸ್ಟ್ ಮೇ ಚೆರಿಷ್ ಎ ರಾಂಗ್ ಟ್ರೂತ್ ಫಾರ್ ಮೆನಿ ಇಯರ್ಸ್, ಬಟ್ ದಿ ಮೂಮೆಂಟ್ ಸಮ್ಒನ್ ಎಲ್ಸ್ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಪ್ರೂವ್ ದಟ್ ದಿಸ್ ಈಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ದಿ ಟ್ರೂತ್, ವಾಟ್ ಶುಡ್ ಹೀ ಡೂ? ಇನ್ಸ್ಟಂಟೇನಿಯಸ್ಲಿ ಹೀ ಶುಡ್ ಬಿ ರೆಡಿ ಟು ಗಿವ್ ಅಪ್. ಬಟ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಕ್ಲಿಂಗ್ ವಿತ್ ಡೆತ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಟೆನಾಸಿಟಿ. ದೇರ್ ವಾಸ್ ಎ ಪ್ರೋಗ್ರಾಮ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಹಾಕಿನ್ಸ್ ಪ್ಯಾರಡಾಕ್ಸ್. ಫಾರ್ 30 years ಹಿ ಹೆಲ್ಡ್ ದಿ ರಾಂಗ್ ವ್ಯೂ ದಟ್ ಮ್ಯಾಟರ್ ವ್ಯಾನಿಷಸ್ ವಿಥೌಟ್ ಎ ಟ್ರೇಸ್, ಇನ್ಫಾರ್ಮೇಶನ್ ವ್ಯಾನಿಷಸ್ ಅಲಾಂಗ್ ವಿತ್ ಮ್ಯಾಟರ್. ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದಿ ಬಿಗ್ ಬ್ಯಾಂಗ್ ಥಿಯೋರಿ. ಎವ್ರಿಥಿಂಗ್ ವ್ಯಾನಿಷಸ್. ಮೆನಿ ಸೈಂಟಿಸ್ಟ್ ಫಾಟ್ ಟೂಥ್ ಅಂಡ್ ನೈಲ್ ಅಗೇನೆಸ್ಟ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಇಟ್ ಗೋಸ್ ಅಗೇನೆಸ್ಟ್ ದಿ ವೆರಿ ಗ್ರೇನ್ ಆಫ್ ಸೈಂಟಿಫಿಕ್ ಟ್ರೂತ್. ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಇಟ್? ಮ್ಯಾಟರ್ ಕೆನಾಟ್ ಬಿ ಕ್ರಿಯೇಟೆಡ್, ಕೆನಾಟ್ ಬಿ ಡಿಸ್ಟ್ರಾಯ್ಡ್. ಅಂಡ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್ ಎನಿಥಿಂಗ್ ದಟ್ ಕಮ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ಟು ದಿ ಆರ್ಬಿಟ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಬ್ಲ್ಯಾಕ್ ಹೋಲ್ ಇಟ್ ಸಿಂಪ್ಲಿ ವ್ಯಾನಿಷಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ವಿ ಡು ನಾಟ್ ನೋ ವಾಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪನ್ಸ್. ದಟ್ ಕೆನ್ ನೆವರ್ ಬಿ ಟ್ರೂ. ಆಫ್ಟರ್ 30 years Hawkins himself, though he was not invited to some big conference, he went, he specially phoned, I want to come and talk. Of course, he couldn't be denied, such a great scientist. So they gave him a slot, they made a slot for him. Then he went and admitted, I have been wrong for 30 years. The great Einstein, he never admitted that something can be beyond his theory of relativity. So all these, the theory of chaos, the principle of uncertainty, all these things militated somewhat against his theory of relativity. He was a wonderful scientist at that time. His ideas are still, many are being proved correct in some ways, but no man can find out the ultimate truth. These are all changing truths. That is how science or knowledge builds up. No man builds all by himself. We start where others stop and then we take it further and then further. This is how all the time is science is confusing us. At some point they said butter was very good. Then they said butter is very bad, margarine is wonderful. Now they say margarine is the worst thing that can be done. But will depend upon the Lord. Why was he stealing butter? Because he knew all along. That was the best thing to be done. So, relative truths always change. So, what are we talking about? A scientist is one who is in search of truth. And a truth seeker must be able to give up, even if he cherishes something as a true. If it is proven to be wrong, instantaneously he should say, yes, I was wrong. Now I know this is the truth. I accept it. He alone deserves to be called a real scientist. That is how many ways it is useful. Why do we suffer? Because we cling to that which is changeable. How can you cling to the changeable? Changeable means if you cling to the changeable, then you have to change. Is it not true? We don't want to change and yet cling to the changeable. But by hook or crook, you will be
changed.
And when you change, oh, I have lost all that I have. We suffer. And then what happens? Even if you suffer, the truth will not change. The changed object remains changed only. Then it's, you accept slowly, slowly, slowly. That is why it takes time. When we accept, our suffering also becomes less. Don't you see? Time heals, they say. So that is what happens. In time, we come to accept things which we should have accepted at that very time. So that is why we suffer so much. Asakti means what? In this world, everything is in a flux. That is why one name for this world is
Jagat.
Jagat means it is constantly changing. Day changes into night, and the sun rises and sets, and the seasons go on changing. Everything is in a constant flux. This is the fact. This is not imagination. And we have to accept it. But we think there is something permanent. What is permanent in this world? Only one thing is permanent. The Atman, which witnesses everything, that alone is permanent. Through the three avasthas, waking, dream and dreamless. What is the unchanging factor? I am in the waking state, I am in the dream state, and I am in the dreamless state, and again back to the waking. Constantly the avastha, the setup is changing. But what is the constant factor? Yes. That is why we should never say that this is permanent. That's why Swami Chinmayananda, I like his saying very much, you know. He used to say, what is appointment? You have an appointment with something in future. If you don't have appointment, you will never be
disappointed.
If you have appointment, there is every chance you will be disappointed. Any expectation, it will never come to your expectation. That is why before marriage, everything is very rosy. After marriage? Yeah, not because anything is wrong. Our expectations, no, they change. They do not change. We have to change our expectations. That means accept the situation as it is. That is an important lesson for every spiritual aspirant, even worldly people also. We have to accept it. So, nityancha samachittatvam ishta anishta upapattishu. Sometimes things are favorable, sometimes not, but we must keep our mind equanimous. That is one of the definitions of yoga. What is the definition? Samatvam yoga uchyate. Equanimity is called yoga. Equanimity. There are several definitions. One of them is yoga karmasu kaushalam. Yoga is skillfulness, dexterity in action. So this is called yoga. Here, this particular quality. What is that quality? I should be ready to accept the changed circumstances. Then I won't suffer, good or bad, whatever it is. And when, what is the changed circumstance? Sometimes it will be good, happy, sometimes not. But let us accept. Everything again comes back. No? Sometimes we are happy, sometimes we are unhappy. Now we will be unhappy whole life. Yeah, some people get so much happiness in their unhappiness, they don't want to give it up. Yeah, very gloomy faces, you know. Why don't you be a little bit cheerful? No, everything is very bad. But what an enjoyment they squeeze out of their gloomy faces. Oh my God. How do I know? Because nobody wants to be unhappy. So if he is unhappy, he would have given up that long back. He is not giving up. That means what? He is deriving some nice juice out of that. Yeah, see how much unhappy I am. Yes, the mind is very, very peculiar mind. Yeah. Okay. Then the one of the qualities. Maicha ananya yogena bhakti avyabhicharini. The Lord says, you must have tremendous devotion. Avyabhicharini bhakti. We use a word, vyabhichara. You know what is vyabhichara?
Infidelity.
Going here and there. Once this person, the other person. Avyabhicharini means absolute fidelity. I stick, I decide, this is my beloved Lord. And that's it, good or bad. In the Sikshastaka, he says, O Lord, that you may make a paste of me with your feet. You may give me most tremendous unhappiness. You may give me up and go away. It doesn't matter to me. I will never, never, ever give up your lotus feet. I will remain your dasanudasa forever and ever. You may give me up, but I will not give up. That is called avyabhicharini bhakti. Simple illustration, you know. You know how much Ramakrishna loved Swami Vivekananda. A time came when he would not even look at him. For 1 month it continued. But Swami Vivekananda, he never gave up his reverence and joy in meeting Sri Ramakrishna. He used to come, sit. Sri Ramakrishna, the moment he sees him, he will turn his back. He won't talk to him. Even, and Swamiji also was not talking to him. Yeah, 1 month passed, but Swami Vivekananda will come regularly, Narendranath. One day, after 30 days, Sri Ramakrishna asked him, why do you come here? I do not talk to you. Then Swami said, you see, I am not bothered whether you talk or you don't talk. I love you, so I like to see you. I am happy to be in your presence. That's why I come. If you don't like me, that is your headache. Yeah. Once a woman was sitting in a restaurant with a gloomy face and eating food. Suddenly her friend came and saw, then asked, why are you so gloomy? And that lady said, me and my husband had a quarrel, and he said, he is not going to speak with me for 30 days. The wife said, what a good fortune. Why are you so gloomy then? She said, yes, I know, but this is the last day. What a tremendous strength Swami Vivekananda had. It's not easy if Sri Ramakrishna becomes indifferent. It's not easy to bear it. It's terrible. He was a man of tremendous willpower. You will always forget. He looks like a person. You can go and pinch him and he won't react. So sweet he appears. But when he wants, he can be like mountain Meru Parvata. In his resolve, nobody can take from the very beginning. If you want to see greatest example of stubbornness, that is an embodiment of stubbornness, that is Ramakrishna. His elder brother, he used to respect him so much. He said that you have to take your first bhiksha from
mother.
He said, no, I gave word to Dhani and I am not going. Why should I take this Ignopavita? If I have to break my word, the first thing you are teaching is to break the truth. The very purpose of taking the sacred thread is to observe perfect truthfulness. And the first thing you are asking me to do is to break it. Now, either I keep my word or I do not want this. He never listen. They have to listen. Always they have to listen. All the time, whole life, everybody has to listen to him. He will never listen to him. See, you are praying and praying. You are only So, this is called avyabhicharini bhakti, faith. I mentioned the morning shabari pratiksha, that is called avyabhi. Anybody perhaps would have given up, but she never gave up. She had that tremendous devotion. Gopis, they are the embodiments of this kind of bhakti towards God. If any person has this kind of bhakti, and that person will succeed in life, not only in spiritual life, but in any field. You understand? If you want to be successful as a scientist, as a doctor, as a teacher, as a sportsman, you must be focused in one direction. This is a pointer, even not only to spiritual life, even in our ordinary life. If you take up, I want to read this book, read, whether you understand it or not. I want to do so much of japa. I will do it. I will find time and I will do it. Only a person who has this kind of determination, only he can succeed. He alone is a success. So what is the ingredient of success? Tremendous power of determination. That is also called willpower. We all have willpowers. What does it mean? Means I will do whatever I like. That kind of willpower we all have. No. Whatever I decided to do good, that alone I will do. That is that willpower. That is called avyabhicharini bhakti. And also says ananya yogena. Means you will not depend upon anybody. Ramanujacharya's Sharanagati mantra. Anukulasya sankalpa. Pratikulasya varjanam, rakshishyasyeti vishvasaha, gotritva varanam, and atmanikshepaha, karpanye, iti shadvidha, sharanagatihi. God alone can save me. Nobody else can save me. I trust God. Naninna nambidi Sri Ramachandra Deva. Have you heard somewhere?
Shakalima.
Sadayanna naligeyali barali ramanam. That is me. I trust in you. I believe in you. And I will never lose this faith. That is called ananya yoga. Na anya yoga. I will not depend upon anybody. I will only depend upon you. You save me. You destroy me. That is your business. But I will not give you up. That is one of the most wonderful qualities. And I know personally some instances where sadhus were saved by this. You know, even sadhus, sannyasins, they are subject to temptations. But I know of some cases where a sadhu was severely tested, tempted. But then he said, no, I have taken a vow that I will be faithful to Thakur. Even though my heart cries out to give in to this temptation, but I will not. And he was saved. Yeah, otherwise, you know, ordinary people, what do they do? Since you tell me so, so anyway. Thakur gives that example of two farmers. One farmer was about to beat his wife. The other farmer, since you say so. Anyway, he was waiting for somebody to disturb him, like, you know, our meditation. The Swami says, 1 hour you have to meditate in the shrine. And after 5 minutes, the mind is becoming restless. And suddenly, somebody comes and says, there is a phone call. You jump up. not because of the phone call. You wanted to go, you were seeking for some excuse. First I saw it, you know, in our shrine, even interesting examples. You know, we are all sitting, meditating. And then everybody is supposed to meditate. Two things I noticed, these two things. One thing is, as long as I was talking and cutting jokes, there was not even a sign of some throat infection or anything. But the moment they are asked to sit for meditation, the throat has tremendous infection, coughing, sneezing. The first thing I noticed, here also I can notice. Yeah. The second thing I noticed, some people are very restless. You know, some people would be coming from outside and they will be, you know, that calling bell. They will be pressing the calling bell. The moment they hear the very first sound, immediately 5-6 people. Rush to open the door. We have a Swami, you know, he's very restless in some ways. He's always sitting near the door. And the moment any guest is trying to come, immediately he will jump up and open the door. You know, these are all, we are all like that. We should not find fault with others. We are all like that, seeking an opportunity to justify our restlessness. Otherwise, our body will be showing the restlessness. Like children, you know, ask them to sit, their whole body is moving. Even though they are shutting their mouth, other than mouth, everything else is moving. So, what is it said here? We should develop such a devotion to God that whatever we determine to do, we should be able to do. Then Sri Ramakrishna's teaching also here. Vivikta desha sevitvam aratihi jana samsadi. Absolutely, one should not derive any happiness from a crowd of people. On the contrary, vivikta desha sevitvam means you take resort to a solitary place. See, what is third commandment of Ramakrishna? Ramakrishna's five commandments, remember? First, take the name of God as much as you can. Second, cultivate holy company. Third, now and then go to a solitary place and call upon God wholeheartedly. Fourth, constant practice of discrimination. That is where observation comes. You cannot discriminate unless you are observant. And the last is, live like a maid servant in a rich man's house. Why rich man's house? Have you ever thought about it? Why rich man's house? Of course, every word has a meaning.
The riches all around.
Why not a poor man's house?
They can't afford a maid servant.
There's not very many choices.
Poor person, first of all, will not have maid servant. But even if somebody employs maid servant, there is nothing the maid servant can get attached. Even the owners themselves, there is nothing. They want to get attached, but there is nothing to get attached. You know, a thief broke into a poor priest's home at night. So he was searching. Suddenly some noise was made. So the poor priest suddenly got up and he found this thief. The thief got frightened. He said, he took out a knife and said, if you make noise, I will knife you. The priest said, no, I am not here to disturb you. See, if you don't mind, I will also follow you. You see, for searching for money. I will also permit me also, because in case you may find. So that is why Sri Ramakrishna said, people get attached. Rich man's house, you know, even a maid servant can get attached. Why? Because where will she get, you know, if somebody's Ambani's house, air conditioned house, if a maid servant is employed there, where will she get air conditioned place? Even though for whole day, sometimes they stay there. And the food they get, they cook and they eat. Yeah, because the Ambani's and others, they have no appetite. It's only drishti bhoga. Most of it is enjoyed by, how do you know? If you have read P.G. Woodhouse books, then you know. All those, you know, bar with the kitchen stuff, they will be enjoying to their heart content. The other fellows were only nibbling, because there is no substance in their bodies. It's wonderful books, you know, to read. Thakur's commandment. What is that? Vivitta desha saivitvam. Aratehi jana samsadi. That is the meaning. What is arati? Means not getting delight in the company of worldly people. Not others, if there are holy people, satsanga, then you cultivate their company. But not worldly people. But ultimately, we must remember, we are alone. We may be having thousands of people in and around us, but our mind is our mind. We are alone. Your sleep is alone. Your dream is alone. You can't even share your sleep. Only some people try to share. You know, sound sleepers. Try to share their sleep with others. What do you mean? Sleep. Sleep for themselves.
Sound.
Supposing one of the spouses is having a wonderful dream, gone to Belur Math or met Holy Mother, whatever, that kind of dream. Can you share with anybody? You cannot do it. Any experience can never be shared with us, with anybody. We can only create opportunity for them to experience for themselves, not even a simple thing. If you have eaten a sweet, you can never share that experience with anybody. If you want others to experience, you have to give that sweet and say, you please taste it. Then only you know what I have experienced. So, if that is the case, then our spiritual aspirations, we can never share. We can only convey the information, but experience must come from within oneself. That is a wonderful truth. So, aratir jana samsadi means that gradually should not depend. Arati means what? Do not depend for your happiness or even inspiration on other people. In the beginning it's fine. So, what do we do with holy people? You know what Sri Ramakrishna used to say? Be like that oyster, pearl oyster. What does it mean? You wait until the star Swati is in ascendancy, and one drop of water at that time, and you catch hold of it. After that, shut your shell, go deep, and never come out until the pearl is formed. So in the beginning, satsanga is wonderful, but after that, that is why, after cultivating satsanga, then you have to go to nirjana. What is nirjana vasa? Nirjana means what?
No.
It doesn't mean that you are alone. You may be alone, but you may be thinking of your father, you know, like that two people in the Chandi story, that Samadhir Nama Vaishya and Suradhar Nama Raja. What were they doing in the forest? They were only thinking. Even he's thinking, whether my elephant is fed or not.
Yeah.
No, That is not Arati Janasamsu. You know, he is there in the forest, nobody to talk to. Both of them were thinking about their family's welfare, even though those were the very fellows who kicked them out.
Yes.
No, that is not. What is Nirjana? Oh Lord, there is not one single person in this world upon whom I can depend. That is real arati. The rest is, you know, you can, it's good if you don't have anybody around, then you can spend your time nicely. But even if people are there, that feeling must be there. No one belongs to anybody. We only belong to God. Nobody can help really. That is the truth. That's why he said nobody can share their experience. That is why it's something wonderful to understand. You know, Sri Ramakrishna, sometimes he used to say, to whom shall I express all these ideas?
Oh, yeah.
Mahapurush Maharaj used to regret when Raja was there, I could share my thoughts with him. Now he is also gone and nobody understands me. Nobody understands him. How can you understand? If Einstein wants to talk about theory of relativity, what will you understand? That is the kind of thing. So this is what Sri Ramakrishna also is telling. Adhyatma jnana nityatvam tattva jnanartha darshana etat jnanam iti proktam ajnanam ato anyada. This verse tells us that leading a spiritual life alone is the worthiest object in anybody's life. Rest is called ajnana. Scientific discovery, they are all good from the worldly point of view. But sooner or later we have to give up and go away. Nothing is going to save. So holding on to God is the only worthy object. Having done that, you can add any number of
zeros.
Hold on to the one and you can add any number of zeros. You can be scientist. You can be anything you want, but without God, their value is zero. Then the Lord says, I will tell you what is the only worthy object of knowledge. Mayam yatat pravaksham. He gives a lot of descriptions, but I am going to tell you in brief what it means. It means Brahman alone is worthy of knowing. Everything else is something which helps us to lead to that particular thing. Swami Yatishwaranji used to say always, scientists are much nearer to God than anybody else. Why? Because even though they are not thinking of God, but they have two qualities. Tremendous quality. Nobody can become a scientist without these two qualities. What are those two qualities? One is the tremendous power of focusing, concentrating. Second is the power of discipline. Discipline. You know, with one drop of blood, some scientists have spent their whole life analyzing and all that. It is the result of their lifelong devotion that we are enjoying today. These two qualities. What is it? Discipline and concentration. If anybody has, now all that they have to do is now direct these two towards God. And then they will be the greatest spiritual, they will have the greatest spiritual progress. So we all must be very spiritual. In fact, there is another quality. Who is a scientist? A seeker of
truth.
So seeking the truth, discipline, and focus. What else we want? That they are the three most important qualities. If we have this, success is sure to come. But what is the goal? What is the truth? The truth is, what is the tattva? The tattva is Brahma. Then he describes what is the quality of this tattva, etc. We need not go into all these things. The essence of what he is trying to tell through all these things is that we are all potentially divine. Our goal is to manifest that divinity. We do this only when we consciously direct our attention towards God. In order to do that, we have to remember that the whole life is a marvelous opportunity. And I alone can make my own progress. But the whole world, as I said, the body, the mind and everything else can become the greatest kshetra or help, provided I have the implement. What is that implement? He said that the body must be healthy. The mind must have certain qualities. A few of that we have discussed today. These are implements, I said. Developing qualities themselves is not the end of life, you know, like a healthy body. It is an instrument. A body is an instrument. It's wonderful. It is healthy. It is strong. It has got stamina. What do you want to do with that human body? You have to do something. So otherwise, it is said, you know, every man would be in one of the three states. What are those three states? Either in yoga or in bhoga, otherwise in roga. Find out in which state we are. Are you a yogi? No, I am not a yogi. Are you a bhogi? No, I am not a bhogi. I will not ask the third question. So, ultimately he points out that the whole universe is meant only for our growth. But to get that help, we must make it, cultivate it properly. And that is the work of life. How can we take advantage of this body, this mind and everything else? How to learn the lesson? The hint our scriptures are giving, it is here. How did that person become the greatest gurus, Avadhuta? How did he become, you know, Avadhuta? How many gurus he had?
24
gurus. That means what? The whole world is a teaching school for him. If he opens his eyes, you will see every incident is teaching a lesson to us. Ultimate lesson is that we are alone and our destiny is to God, and anything that helps us to go towards God alone is worthy of cultivation. The rest, ignore it. You see the point? That is the entire essence of this 13th chapter, that there is only ultimately one Karta, means one master. Who is that? The Divine Lord. Everything else is a field of sport for him. If we do not perceive this truth, then the field becomes yantrana, a school, even a gymnasium. But when we perceive the Lord, then that very kshetra, means this world, what does it become? Leela kshetra, becomes a place of divine sport. In another way, this is the meaning of Rasa Leela. You know Rasa Leela? One Purusha. That is why the depiction, symbolical depiction is wonderful. How many gopis? Many. How many Krishnas?
One.
But every Krishna, in between two gopis, there is one Krishna. What does that show? That the Purusha is only
one.
Though Prakriti, every gopi represents the Prakriti. And ultimately, the Prakriti and Purusha division itself is a false, misleading division. There is no such division at all. The Purusha divides himself into Purusha and Prakriti. For what purpose? So that he can have a divine sport. In Vaishnava Sampradaya, this beautiful truth is depicted in the form of marvelous songs through two bhavas. One is viraha bhava and another is milana bhava. Separation and union. Separation and union. Separation and union. But both form one integrated leela kshetra. That is why the whole universe is leela kshetra. That is why the God is called Jagan Nataka Sutra Dhari. He is Ishvara Sarvabhutana Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtati Brahmayan Sarvabhutani Yantra Rodhani Maya. You know, if you go to this, what is that? Ferris wheel. One man will be sitting. Now he presses. Immediately the whole thing goes. And then, what goes up?
Comes down.
I had one to. Others are waiting for it.
Yes.
So this is the whole time this is going on. We get out, somebody gets in. So like that Leela Kshetra is going on, this Leela. He is called Jagannatha Sukrata. A beautiful Kannada song. It says, you know, I am not at fault. All the fault belongs to you only. Because you are pulling the strings. What can I do? There, doshkaro naigoma. Tomar shokata sholile, tumi dube more shama. Not I.
Not me.
You. That you. Because, you know, everything. That is the ultimate stage of Leela. There is no srishti, there is no sthiti, there is no laya. One is playing. Vishwa brahmande khelito ebishadaye dirat shisho anamane. What a beautiful song.
Oh.
It's just a beautiful play. But we do not know it is a play. It is a play, but we do not know. So what is our goal? To progress in spiritual life. Ultimately we find we are none other than
Lord himself.
Then what happens? That this whole universe becomes a Leela Kshetra.
Yeah.
Then what do we become? Leela Sahacharas. We are companions to in participating in the divine Leela of the divine Lord.
Yes.
This beautiful idea Thakur gives, you know, the granny wants to play. Granny wants to play. She doesn't want the play to come to an end. She wants the play to continue. But unfortunately, we do not know that it is a play. But she knows. When she knows we are tired, we cry, then she will come and then take us in her lap. That is, instead of our going and touching the granny, granny comes rushing, is what Thakur says, as long as a child is very busy with the toys, the mother doesn't come. The moment he cries, then mother comes running. What is the idea? What did we learn from this 13th chapter? Before realization, the whole world is a school. Turn it into a school. Because we don't learn our lessons. That is why it is called history. You know what is history?
History.
Not only that. What are the lessons we learn from history?
It's
we do not learn any lessons from the history. Is the first lesson we learn from
history.
It's observation done. I don't know who did it. This is the truth. We fall again and again into the trap. But a time will come, then we can convert the whole world into first-class, marvelous teachers. Every incident can teach us a lesson which takes us forward towards our goal. And ultimately, the third stage. What is that third stage? That we become Leela Sahacharas. The whole universe turns into a field of divine drama. And then we become companions. And that is what is called Jivan Mukti. That's our goal. But to reach that, we have to go, what? First observe, then so learn your lessons. First to detachment, then observe, then learn your lessons, and ultimately you don't detach, you become very attached, because you see the Divine Lord Himself. This is the essence of the 13th chapter. There are many, I know, I missed to present you many ideas. But you can't expect me to deal with all these slokas in five short classes. But if we understand the essence, that's more than enough. So let us remember this lesson. Now if you go and read this 13th chapter, I think you will understand the 13th chapter in much better way. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Sri Ram Krishna.